Hump Day, Wednesday, the 27th of October, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. The official Arizona election audit got all of the attention, but it's not the only effort to audit the suspicious results of the 2020 election. For the past year, the group Patriots for Delaware has been scrutinizing the votes in Joe Biden's supposed home state. They've brought out professional auditors from the medical and accounting fields, and they say that what they have found is stunning. For instance, they say that they found 1,768 people who voted on November 3rd of last year, despite being dead. Of that number, 1,165 supposedly voted at a polling place on an ES&S voting machine, despite the Delaware requirement to present a voter ID. It gets stranger, though. More than 90% of these dead voters died at least 5 years ago, but have just kept on voting ever since. Some of them have been dead for decades. 394 of the names Patriots for Delaware found had died before the year 2000. One person died in 1963, then cast a ballot on a voting machine just last year. Hundreds of these voters registered to vote after their date of death. But there's more. Patriots for Delaware says that they found 2,117 people who voted in 2020 despite moving out of the state. More than 1,800 of those people moved and left no forwarding address, but still managed to get a mail-in ballot somehow. And how about this? Nationwide, the average return rate for mail-in ballots was about 70%. Makes sense. A lot of people just procrastinate or forget and never get around to voting, even in the most important election of our lives. Well, in Delaware, they sent out 168,629 mail-in ballots and got 168,355 of them back, a 99.8% return rate. The difference between that and the national average is more than 48,000 votes. We're not done yet. They looked at nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And how many votes were attributed to those people living in those facilities? Well, in some homes, the number of votes compared to the number of beds was low, 7%, 13%, 10%, and so on. But in others, it was higher, much higher. Overall, they looked at 15 homes, and 5 of them had a vote count greater than the number of beds. At Willowbrook Court at Cokesbury Village, there were 94 total beds and 296 votes, a voter turnout rate of 315%. By the way, here's an interesting specific trend that they found. They found that homes with the most questionable votes tended to be those that had memory wards, facilities for people with Alzheimer's or other dementia who can't be trusted to function on their own. And this is all what happened in a state that Joe Biden was probably going to win no matter what. It's a sign of just how far people will go to rig the process and win even in the most minor local election. And it's a sign of just how much worse things probably were in other closer states. Seth Keschel is a former Army captain. He's an election data analyst, and he joins us now. Delawareans would say, hey, Joe Biden's not from here. He's from Pennsylvania, and they can keep him. But also, Delawareans that showed up have been dead. I mean, this is astounding information. What kind of an election did we have in Delaware?
Well, it's kind of interesting because Joe also claims to be from Scranton, Pennsylvania, Lackawanna County, which was a critical working class county that had a major Trump trend in every statistical area, including voter behavior over the last few cycles. So he likes to claim a lot of places as home, sort of like Hillary Clinton did in 2016. But what the Delaware results really tell me is it is part of a larger narrative, just like you see narratives all throughout the country. Remember, you've had a narrative called Turn Texas Blue for the past 10 years, and now as Texas has become more competitive, you start to develop that into a national thing. But with these so-called blue states, Delaware is one of those states that turned blue for the first time in a while in 92 for Bill Clinton. Now, this is after 3 consecutive Republican terms where you're going to have a swing towards the Democrats. Well, it went from a Bush landslide in 88 to a Clinton solid victory in 92 and has stayed blue since. So even once we look at these numbers, we have a hard time unpacking what could have been going on for decades. So if you're going to justify what you saw on election night with Joe Biden's performance, so to speak, in Wisconsin and Michigan. As you know, those two states were taken in the middle of the night early on November 4th. Pennsylvania, where I am today, and Georgia, they took several days to pull off. But if you're going to justify that, which everyone saw in plain sight, then you cannot run the risk of having Washington, Oregon, or Delaware in this case run tight, because Trump only lost Delaware by 11 points in 2016 and then got 35,000 more votes statewide, including in Kent County, where it's a national, it's somewhat of a national bellwether, not a perfect one, but that one flipped back to Biden. So you can't have an election where Biden barely wins his home state or wins it by 4 or 5 points. And that is the narrative that is used to justify supposedly 81 million votes for a guy that can't even fill up a cafeteria.
So Patriots for Delaware, this organization obviously has done a whole lot of ground pounding. This information not being touched by the national media at all. Where did this group come from?
Another one of these subsets of grassroots patriots that you find all over the country. I'm shocked as I travel around. I'm obviously a national voice in elections, and I'm useless without these ground troops. But I ran into this group, Patriots for Delaware, a couple months ago on a remote call like this, and they shared their information with me. And now Delaware only has 3 counties, 3 electoral votes. It's a state that you even physically, you have to try to be in Delaware. You basically have to drive from Baltimore to Philly and clip across it. So you don't go there on purpose unless you have business there, right? And they were all over these numbers. And I was shocked to hear what they were finding, because they were turning over every stone in the nursing homes. One of those nursing homes you mentioned, I mean, it's 315% of beds voted. So they were turning out numbers about the mail-in voting. Remember, COVID's purpose, its primary purpose was to create workarounds for voter integrity laws and regulations so you could get mail ballots all over the place. And that key finding of a 99.8% return rate of mail ballots. And by the way, there's still another discrepancy of 23,000 between how many they said they sent out and how many were reported in the final results. But you have a national average of 71%. Mail ballot returns. Delaware reports 99.8% returned, which is ridiculous. Even if you look at religious mail-in voting states like Colorado and Utah, that equates to 48,480 extra ballots received in a state the size of Delaware compared to a national average in a state decided by 96,000 votes. So that is half of the margin between Trump and Biden in the certified results in Delaware. 48,000 extra mail votes plus the 20 plus thousand that we've already found that shouldn't be voting anyway.
So here's where I stand on this. I mean, so Arizona, it was called early. Looks like it went to Trump. The audit is not quite complete yet, but suggests that certainly not a certifiable election. But then you go to Delaware, you say that half of the votes that went to Biden, you know, the difference, the margin, half of that margin would be cut in half, essentially, is what you're saying. So regardless if Biden wins or not, it still makes it an uncertifiable election, does it not?
Correct. You can't justify, like, this is a civil rights issue. And the stance on decertifying or nullifying elections is something that protects the civil rights of every American that voted, regardless of who they voted for and in what race their vote was cast.
That's right. It's not a partisan issue.
Correct. Because you can look at the results in Maricopa County. It suggests very strongly that 2 of those Republican Board of Supervisors members were likely elected by fraudulent ballots. And people don't want to talk about that, because this election machining is certainly a bipartisan issue. They do it. They both do it.
So you're in Pennsylvania now. You've obviously done trends in all of these swing states. I saw some of this presentation when you were in Wisconsin. I drove over to meet with you and watched as you were laying all of these numbers out. So what now? Okay, Delaware, not certifiable. Arizona, not certifiable. In your opinion, what about Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Georgia?
We're going deeper into the data. So I had my 3,000 plus county look across the country, and that's something I completed this summer. So now we figured out some new methodology to dial in the same analysis at the precinct level. So when we have a place like Maricopa County, which has 748 voting precincts, which is, and some of these have 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 votes cast in them. So it is very hard to canvass that much ground. So I can identify now, based on these trends, where the most likely places to have fruitful canvassing efforts are. So we're doing that. So I'm in Butler County, Pennsylvania today. Butler County is a smaller county, but it's one of these backbone Trump counties in Western PA that flipped the state with a much larger Trump margin than any Republican could pull off. There's 3 county commissioners today here in Butler County who wanted to meet with me in person while I was here. And then I put out a video highlighting the county disparities in the numbers. Now, this is not a personal accusation towards anyone. I don't necessarily believe that any commissioners or clerks, I don't believe that all of them had a hand in what happened. But none of them want to be placed over an election that is considered to be fraudulent. So they backed out of the meeting thanks to my video, and they're not coming to the event tonight. So we have some cardboard cutouts that will occupy the seats that they were supposed to be at, which should be a very interesting photo op. So we're going to start putting pressure locally for people to investigate the most pressing concern of every conservative, Republican, America First, whatever you want to call them. And that is election integrity, because if we don't have elections that matter, then we have no country.
These people are in pretty serious predicaments. I mean, this is really criminal. And especially, I mean, not showing up, avoiding the question, changing the subject, if you will, deflecting, projecting is essentially an admission of involvement, knowledge, or guilt that they don't want to face. I mean, you don't have to say that. That's really obvious. So what about people like this Patriots for Delaware, the people that are digging up this stuff? I mean, 315% voter turnout, that's fraud. There's no other way to say it. That's very obvious, blatant fraud. So are they targeting these people as well in these states as you're going around and you're finding these grassroots people? Are they in trouble?
None of these folks that are going to do the right thing, the clerks and commissioners that will actually do a legitimate audit, not the dipstick in the engine oil, hey, everything came out clean like you have in Texas going on right now, but anybody who's going to do a full effort to either prove or disprove the results of the election, because most fair-minded people are willing to accept the legitimate results of any election, even if it doesn't turn out the way you wish it did. And that's actually how Americans ought to be. But, you know, here in Delaware, what they're doing is their work. Delaware is a small state. These towns and these cities and towns and counties are not big. So look at the massive numbers we just talked about statewide. I had a call from someone in Blanco, Texas. So Blanco County, Texas is very small, only a few thousand votes, not even big enough for my methods to really flag that county's numbers. And I was told at the city level that almost all the positions flipped over. You know, so a couple hundred votes can flip all those positions. So people that want to say that, you know, whoever the president is, the Constitution really says the president shouldn't matter that much. Well, when they get your city offices and your county offices, it absolutely does. Now ask Lauren about that, about her Senate race. You know, polling has limited value, but I would be willing to bet her internal polls showed a much closer race than the 20 points that are in the certified results. So we absolutely have a ton of people all over the place. Now, Patriots for Delaware has been very, very opportunistic in getting out there and hiring people and putting out their information. But we have several other states that have begun full-on canvassing efforts too. Alaska, Colorado, among others.
Good. And in every state, there should be a full forensic audit, particularly those that use these internet-connected machines.
In Delaware, they're cracking down on the folks at Patriots for Delaware. We've got law enforcement doing things in Delaware that are absolutely unethical and illegal to some of the people behind Patriots for Delaware, which you probably shouldn't elaborate on too many of the details, but they absolutely notice the work of these Patriots. And that absolutely, it should not be unnoticed that there is personal risk involved in going against something that is so fraudulent, like our elections. And like Thomas Paine said it, one of our Patriot leaders in Texas sent me a quote today that I 100% agree with, that resonates with me. It's a Thomas Paine quote. Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigues of supporting it. So this is not something for the weak at heart. This is something you're going to take a lot of heat on. You're going to be called an idiot. You're going to be called a conspiracy theorist. But if we don't have an election system that people can trust, and we don't, even CNN will tell you 52% of Americans don't trust the system of elections. What they're doing is they're admitting that probably 3/5 of the country realizes something's wrong right now. No republic can survive that level of distrust in the system of elections and survive.
I agree with the Thomas Paine quote, and I thank you for your strength, tenacity. I mean, you're on the road constantly. You're making huge sacrifices for this country, so I appreciate that. And we're going to talk to Lauren Witzke right now regarding that Delaware election. Seth Keschel, thank you so much.
Thanks, Stu. Let's do it again soon.
Well, Joe Biden claims that Delaware is a home state. If you go to Delaware and ask real Delawareans, they would say, vote for Joe Biden over my dead body. And apparently a lot of dead bodies did vote for Joe Biden. Lauren Witzke is with us now. You've said that you're vowing to take back, reclaim your Senate seat based on what we just learned from Seth Keschel.
Right. So I am taking a different approach to this. I'm not a seated politician. I'm just an ordinary citizen who had something stolen from me. I'll admit, Stu, I knew that the election was close. The polling numbers leading up to the general election, they were close. Delaware hasn't always been a Democrat state. It's like a blue dog Dem. We've had Republicans in statewide elections. Well, when I started seeing the audit results pouring in, I knew that I was close. I knew it was probably within a 3% range, but now it's looking like 123,000 fraudulent ballots potentially coming out of the state of Delaware. They have proof of the dead voters. The people of Delaware, it's not just my seat that was stolen. It was the people's Senate seat. Chris Coons is not the U.S. Senator from the state of Delaware. It's looking like Lauren Witzke is. So let me tell you something, Stu. I have a plan. As a private citizen, what do you do when you have stolen property taken from you?
You call the cops.
Exactly. So I'm asking the Delaware police, state police, to stand with me. I'm waiting for the audit to be completely irrefutable evidence of, we have awesome people working on the audit, irrefutable evidence of election fraud and a stolen election. And I'm asking the Delaware State Police to stand with me to help me retrieve the people's stolen property. So that is my plan to reclaim my Senate seat. If it is without a reasonable doubt that that seat was mine, you know daggum well that I'm going to go and take it.
Well, and you know what? That is exactly what the cops are there for. That's exactly what an upstanding and moral, impartial, just law enforcement agency who swears an oath should live up to. They should live up to that oath. Disturbingly and sadly, Seth Keschel just said, and I don't know the details on this, but the people behind Patriots for Delaware have actually been targeted by law enforcement in that state as a result of those efforts. I don't know what that means. We're going to reach out to them for comment to see exactly what, if we can get to the bottom of that. But this machine is so big, and these political heads have infiltrated the command staffs at our police departments. We saw it in Minneapolis after the overdose death of George Floyd. Here on the streets, there's now a hologram erected in his honor. He's a home-invading criminal thug who overdosed on methamphetamine. So then we saw $12 billion in damage over a three-month period last summer as anarchists just with impunity burned down occupied police precincts and set fire to churches. So the support for the blue line with me remains fervent. I support real cops, boots on the ground, rank and file, that are there for the right reasons. But these command staffs also need to be rooted out. And you're right. If what is rightfully yours is that Senate seat, then the Delaware State Police need to investigate it. There's absolutely no question about it. This is election fraud, and election fraud is criminal.
Right, exactly. And like I said before, I'm not a seated politician, so I don't have to go to like the Senate and call hearings and sit and talk and do nothing. No, I'm a private citizen who had something stolen from me, a position stolen from me, stolen from the people. You know, what I'm finding more and more, you're talking about the police, it's interesting. I had really big police support last year when I ran for office. But what you're seeing now is with these vaccine mandates, it is creating a divide between the people because people are about to lose everything. They're going to lose their inability to feed their families. These police officers are starting to realize, oh my, if I continue covering for this, I'm going to lose everything. It is going to cost me dearly. So, you know, I just want to ask these police, do you believe in the rule of law or not? Will you swear to uphold your oath to protect the citizens that you were hired to serve? You know, this is what the police are for. And you're seeing with the right that people are starting to, the Republicans, conservatives are starting to notice like these police officers who are enforcing these mandates or dragging people out and having them arrested for not wearing a mask. You know, they are branches of the system, but we still have some good police officers left in the police force. I'm asking these police officers, you know, we are the only friends you have. That is the truth of the matter. We are the only friends you have because Antifa will never love you. Communists will never love you. We are the ones who backed the blue, and we are asking the police officers to stand up and fight for us now.
That beast
system. And I'm
going
to ask them to do it to help me. Yeah.
And that beast system that you're a part of is going to come back and take your head as well, which is why we're out here fighting. You're fighting in more ways than just reclaiming a Senate seat, which absolutely you should ask the cops for help with that. But you're fighting in more ways than just that. You've got other things going on. I've got about a minute left here, and you wanted to make an announcement about an upcoming event.
Yes, sure. Yes, I could certainly use your help. I'm trying to help build this parallel society. We're raising money for a Christian school. We have a gala coming up November 12th. It's a Friday night. Come out, enjoy some good dinner. Come out and hear me speak. Garrett Ziegler from the Trump White House will also be speaking. It's in the state of Delaware in Joe Biden's backyard, and it's going to be a great time.
We have a graphic up on the screen for that right now, so the information is on the screen. For those of you that are listening to audio only, Lauren, take us through this. When is it? Where is it? Real quickly.
Yes, absolutely. November 12th, Crossroads Community Church in Dagsboro, Delaware. We also are offering sponsorships for businesses. Every single dime will go to building this school. And for parents who can't afford to pull their kids out of the public school system, now they have an extra option. And that is where you can find it. You can find tickets on my Telegram page, my Gab, Lauren Witzke, DeLaurenWitzke.
Wonderful. We're Action Radio. That's what we are. We are action journalism, action television, action podcast. We're not just some bloviating talking heads. Fox can keep that with their Hannity's and their Bonginos. We're actually out here moving the ball, and you're part of that. Lauren Witzke, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stu.
I am so proud that StepOnSocks.com has been one of the original sponsors here on The Stu Peters Show. Not just because of the quality of these all-cotton, 100% Patriot-designed red, white, and blue socks, but because of who the owners are and what they stand for. One of the founders over at Step On Socks actually was a medical doctor in New York. Had a real good gig going, very comfortable living, but she could not handle the medical tyranny that's taking place. She could not, in good faith, stay in a system that is trying to snatch your individual liberty, steal your freedom, shred the Constitution right in front of your face at the hands of the very snakes that you can now step on all day long. Obama, who's in his third term, Clinton, Fauci, Biden, Obama, Gates, these people are terrible snakes. They're globalists that are trying to, there's another version that includes Cuomo, a Pence version, Whitmer, Newsom. These people are disgusting parasites, and you can step on them all day long. It really does give you a sense of satisfaction. Not only that, but it red pills people, starts conversations so that you can have these conversations with fellow patriots. The Trust in God sock, that's my favorite. I hold them up here daily. Look at this, the cross boldly printed on the sock. These things are incredible. I'm telling you, you cannot buy socks like this. You can step on sin all day long. Get a red pair, a white pair, and a blue pair for just $17.76. Don't forget, real silver available at steponsocks.com. If you follow me in Telegram, I posted pictures of the bag that I got yesterday. I love it. Also, Second Amendment flags. How important is our Second Amendment? Go to steponsocks.com right now. Do business with patriots. Real, dyed-in-the-wool, authentic, USDA choice, thoroughbred patriots when you do business at steponsocks.com. Well, I'm going to be honest here. I don't like the COVID-19 shots, and I hate anybody mandating that you take medicine that you might not want or need. But some of the stuff people are saying about these vaccines still seems pretty weird to me. We've had a few guests on lately who say the vaccine includes hydras, a small freshwater animal, and that these animals are there for nefarious biological purpose. And I'll admit, that sounds like a stretch to me. But Ariana Love is a holistic doctor from Finland, and she sent us an email saying that hydras and parasites absolutely are in the vaccine, and that they're being used to turn humans into, quote, a new hybrid species. Dr. Love joins us now. We really appreciate you being here. So hydras are a freshwater animal. The first question I would ask is, how are they able to survive in storage temperatures of 70 degrees below zero Fahrenheit?
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm not really sure how they're able to survive in low degree temperatures, but I do know that they are first genetically modified in a lab in a University of Kiev, and they're transfected. So these are not natural organisms anymore.
How did you find that these are being genetically modified from that specific lab? People are going to say, where's your proof? Do you have any receipts of that?
Well, I read through about 30 peer-reviewed scientific journals and also the gain of function and loss of function research and reports that were funded by the NIH, Anthony Fauci, and partly by DARPA.
Okay. And so these are open source documents that people can go and find. Can you send them to me so that I can post them at stupeters.tv for people to go look for themselves? We want people to know the truth about these things, no matter how nefarious, no matter how cynical, no matter how dangerous it is. That's kind of the whole purpose of this platform, is to make sure that people have some sort of informed consent, because they're not getting it at the pharmacy. They're not getting it at the school when the janitor injects their children, offering suckers and popsicles as a reward for taking this inoculation. So we want to make sure. Can you provide that documentation to us?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's open source. It's just hard for people to understand it because it's written in medical terms and in codes, and you have to translate a lot of it if you want to get a cohesive picture.
Well, we're here to break down that code, and that's why we're happy to have you. How do you suppose that a freshwater organism is surviving in the human bloodstream, because the human bloodstream obviously is not freshwater.
I honestly don't know how they accomplished this, but it's in all the studies.
That the hydras are in there. In these studies, is it openly admitted that hydras are there?
Yes, absolutely. And exactly how the mechanisms, how they are in the operating system.
Okay, so
how they work, yeah.
And it's your claim that hydras are specifically there to create hybrid human beings. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, they're used to transfect humans. So they're carriers. They're carrying. Well, see, the Human Genome Project, it started in the year 2000. And Hydra vulgaris is used in the genome assembly, the human genome assembly, which is for transfecting humans. And what they've done is they've transfected the hydras and parasites with this for cross-species genomics, which is they do this in the University of Kiev, and it's called, what they're transfecting it with is the lentivirus. They're also using luciferase. And basically the lentivirus is the spike protein that everyone's talking about. It is a combination of the most deadly bioweapons, gain of function bioweapons ever created. And that's SARS, MERS, HIV 1 through 3, and SRV1, which induces AIDS.
So are you saying that people who receive this inoculation are actually being given these viruses, SARS, MERS, HIV, AIDS?
They're not only being given it, they're being transfected with it. So basically the hydra and the parasite species with their new genetic coding is being fused into the tissues of humans, and they're becoming one. They also figured out a way to get the cell signaling to match and to harmonize, so that it's called cantonine signaling. And so that the humans become a new genetically modified organism.
Insane. So hydras are small, but they aren't a single celled organism. They're several millimeters in length. So how exactly are these things rewriting people's DNA?
Okay. The embryos are double-celled organisms, and that's what they transfect. But then they grow into into a larger size, and they multiply in the body when they come in contact with graphene oxide. They multiply rapidly. So they're using this technology called CRISPR-Cas9 and BLAST, and they use a process called electroportation using electrodes on programmable gold nanobots. And this is how they're targeting the cell organelles of the nuclei.
Who's manufacturing these gold nanobots?
I don't know who's manufacturing that. I can look into it a bit more, but I know who funded it, and that's Anthony Fauci, the NIH, and partly DARPA.
So Tony Fauci, you have receipts, is funding the production of these gold nanobots. Isn't the main purpose of an electrode just to conduct electricity? How is it rewriting DNA?
Yeah, well, see, I'm not a scientist, so the actual process of transfection is still, you know, it was very hard for me to grasp this, but I somehow managed to get this far. So I there's one other thing that is really important that needs to be mentioned, and that's that in these studies, I found that they're targeting nerve cells and embryonic cells in humans. So this is why we're seeing the neurodegenerative and autoimmune reactions to the vax, which is prion. But they're also targeting the embryonic cells in the testes and ovaries, which means that they are transfecting and cloning the offspring of the vaxxed as well. And this means that they're basically producing a new hybrid species using humans.
So if Tom is vaccinated and he procreates with Jane and they have a child, that child is not human.
Right. They are gene silencing. So they're silencing, turning off certain genetics that they don't want in the human, and programming and coding new genetics that they do want there. So they're also wiring a new brain and a new nervous system in humans, and a third strand to the DNA. So they're taking the 2.0 organic humans and transfecting them into 3.0 hybrids.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Melissa McAtee. She's a Pfizer employee whistleblower from the manufacturing department. I want to ask her, but I'm going to ask you, how is it that they're able to get away with all of this? Are the people that are working at Pfizer in the manufacturing department, for example, or the people working at Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, millions of other people outside, world leaders and government officials that are complicit in this lockstep effort, do they all know this and they're all staying quiet? Or are they not aware of what it is that they're purposing and for what agenda they're serving? I mean, and I know that you don't know this definitively, but I'm just asking, what is your feeling on that? Why are people remaining silent on this? I mean, people putting these together, working for Pfizer and all these other companies that I just mentioned, do they know what they're manufacturing and they're doing it anyways?
I think the ones at the top have to know, of course. They develop the technology. But not everybody knows. Not everybody in government knows. Some are just, you know, and not everybody, not all the doctors know. I mean, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to comprehend the evil agenda that this is. I mean, this is not a vaccine. It's a weapons system. And we're under biological attack. And we have no option but to resist. I think that the people who have been vaxxed have a moral obligation not to produce any offspring, because their kids are not human. They do not carry the God-given genetics that humans have, and they will be a new species. And they can mix and match. They can, with the luciferase, they can 24/7 trace these humans, or these genetically modified humans. And they can upgrade and upregulate, it's called, and downregulate genetics externally at will. They can change people's genetic codes using the internet. And this is it's through the eukaryotic genome annotation pipeline. It's a website. It's an external database for monitoring and remotely controlling transgenic humans. All of this is out in the open and online.
What made you, as a holistic doctor, begin looking into this? Were you treating patients that were having adverse reactions, side effects, or what I now refer to as intended consequences from being jabbed with this serum?
People started coming to me and asking me for help. I realized that my knowledge was needed, so I just stepped up and I started, you know, researching anything that could help to detoxify graphene oxide toxicity from the body and to help protect the body from this biological attack. So people saw what I was doing and they started reaching out to me, and it snowballed from there.
I've seen movies that depict stuff like this. Never thought that I would be living in times where we'd be having legitimate conversations on a platform like this one, or that I would be hosting a platform as such, where we were talking seriously about transfection and repurposing humans, giving them a new genetic code through a shot that is being mandated for the world. It's unbelievable. I got about 30 seconds left here. I'm going to give you the final words.
Okay. I think that people need to understand we have to be responsible. No more shots, no more vaccines, no more jabs, no more of these PCR nasal probes, because they're gathering DNA to continue this vicious assault.
So when a doctor swabs you, anybody else, or a nurse with the failed PCR test that's been recalled, the DNA that's on there is then sent elsewhere. Is that what you're saying, for studying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's being collected by Harvest, by Israel. And of course, as Karen Kingston revealed earlier, the Israeli Zionist agents are behind own the patents, are owning many of these patents. So yeah, it's a new world order system, and they are working together to take over. They don't want humans anymore. This is an anti-human agenda.
Don't be fearful. Seek Jesus, right? Dr. Arianna Love, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. And thanks for all that you do, Stu.
Of course. That brings a lot of focus back to this phenomenon of shedding, right? What exactly is it that people who have been inoculated are transmitting to other people? We just don't know. Is it the spike protein? I don't know. Is it whatever Dr. Love says is inside of these injections? I don't know. But what Dr. Zeb Zelenko knows is that his Z-Stack protocol, the quercetin, the zinc, the D3, the C, among other things, prevents that ticking time bomb from going off. You got to protect yourself. It is now available for kids in the gummy form. Pre-order it right now at zstackprotocol.com. This guy is a humanitarian genius who has been attacked by globalists, deplatformed. He has been physically threatened for treating patients successfully, 99.9% recovery rate among his high-risk COVID patients, saved thousands of lives in upstate New York, the Nobel Prize nominee, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee. The guy's a genius. One of the first out here talking about early treatment protocols. He's got the formula. He calls it the COVID killer. Go to zstackprotocol.com. Protect yourself against these chimerically engineered viruses, these Tony Fauci taxpayer-funded Wuhan lab intentionally released bioweapon viruses. Protect yourself with that formula. Go to zstackprotocol.com. Pre-order for your kids. He was on the show yesterday, dropped a huge bomb about influenza. Where did it go? He tested every one of his patients for them. None of them tested positive. Where did it go? The flu shot has failed. We know that. 20% effectiveness, 20 to 40% effectiveness. It's just a big superbug generator, just like these boosters are. Of course they want you taking a lifetime subscription to these boosters. It weakens your immune system. It allows the viruses that they engineer to more effectively penetrate. Kill it. Go to zstackprotocol.com. Do your kids a solid. Kill it for them. Pre-order these gummies. zstackprotocol.com. Again, zstackprotocol.com. And command that Jesus protect everyone who was inoculated from this thing entering their bloodstream. It'll die before it does. In the name of Jesus, amen. More of the Stu Peters Show continues right now. One of my favorite segments on the Stu Peters Show, we get to do it every single Wednesday. It's called Ask Dr. Jane. This is where you get to ask Dr. Jane Ruby the questions that you want answers to. You can find her in her Proton Mail, Dr. Jane Ruby at protonmail.com, or in her Telegram, t.me/Dr. Jane Ruby. And she joins us now. It's all brought to you, of course, by MyPillow.com. Get huge discounts when you use the promo code Stu at MyPillow.com. Like up to, I think this is like up to 70, almost 70% off on certain things. Wow. Like a $110 sheet set for just $39. I mean, some of the stuff is absolutely incredible.
Free. That's almost free.
Yeah, it is. It's almost free. Go get them. Go get a whole bunch of them. Christmas is upcoming. Great gifts, you know, slippers, dog beds, pajamas, sheets, of course, the pillows, mattress toppers, the whole deal. Okay, so ask Dr. Jane from your Telegram channel. Mark Leonetti says, I live in California and I have a 10 and 14-year-old. Now that the FDA has approved the jab for 5 to 11-year-olds, what can we do to protect our kids but still be able to send them to school? Wouldn't we all love to know?
Well, the short answer, Mark, is you can't. You simply can't. And you've got to get them out of there as soon as you can, especially in an aggressive state like California. And I just want to make one clarification so that your information is accurate. The FDA did not approve it. That is actually a legal and technical term. What they did do is the panel recommended to the FDA to go forward with an emergency use authorization. And we all know that's going to happen because Pfizer is the FDA now.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for the question, Mark.
And those committee members, by the way, as we exposed yesterday, each and every one of them has deep ties to Pfizer. They're profiteering off of this. So Let's Roll asks you in Telegram, if someone takes the jab and then gets COVID, do they still produce antibodies?
That's an excellent question. And I think it's important for everyone to know. The short answer is not as many and probably not for very long. If you don't have the jab and you get the natural illness, you will have antibodies and your body will recognize it. And you'll have them probably for many, many years, if not a lifetime. What these injections do is they interfere, they make your body focus so heavily on the spike, the synthetic spike protein, because it keeps generating, your body keeps generating it. So your immune system gets overly trained to just focus on that. So you can't fight other illnesses. So I would say never, ever, for any reason, get the jab.
Kathy asks a question here for those people who did get the jab. If they didn't hear your never, ever plea. Dr. Jane, do you think that the makers of the, quote, vaccine also made an antidote for it? Thanks, Kathy in New Mexico.
It's one of my favorite questions. I have no idea and I have no evidence, but I would assume that if you spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars and possibly over $1 billion to develop this type of technology, you would know how to reverse it in case one of your poor relatives took it and you didn't intend for them to take it. But I also want to put this question out to Dr. Robert Malone, who is the self-proclaimed inventor of the mRNA technology. Whether or not he was involved in these shots is not important. What's important to me is he has the technology know-how because he created it. And I wish that he would come forward and help us understand how to reverse it.
Yeah. Get in the lab and fix what's killing everybody, right? I mean,
yeah. Why not?
Okay. Million Fan March in your Telegram says, why can't we get you and Stu in front of Congress with a slideshow? Sure. Yeah. I'd love to go talk to these grifters.
Well, I thought this was a fun question because, first of all, it's a dream. I mean, I think if we did it, they would never be the same. And I think it would have to make mainstream media because between the two of us, we would definitely make an impassioned plea. And we've got so much evidence. They would be breathless. So,
Anyway, I'm not an expert and I don't have any evidence. I just broadcast it here on the platform. So we do need to get you, Dr. Jane, and a lot of these other experts in front of Congress. They need to listen. The truth is they don't want to hear it. They want plausible deniability is what they want.
And I think it's very telling that they haven't invited any of the frontline doctors and experts, but
no, instead they just accept the fact that the installed Biden regime labels you as domestic terrorists and purveyors of mis and disinformation. Cindy Ingold asks what do you do to keep yourself going in the face of looming worldwide genocide? Any tips?
Yeah, I do get a lot of questions on this basic topic. How
Me
do
too,
I keep
yes.
going? How do I stay positive? First of all, I pray every day, and I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that I didn't do that every day before this nightmare unfolded a year and a half ago. And I spend a lot of time with family, friends, and just people that, you know, just give me that great, you know, positive vibration. It's all we can do. But in the other times, what keeps me going is working with people like Stu and other great patriots to really get these messages out, and we're all integrating and to help awaken people. So thank you for being concerned.
Spend time in the Word.
Yeah.
Point everyone you know to the cross. Find Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. Nothing else will seem like it can possibly come against you. All right. In Telegram, Tiny Smidgen, I do it a lot, by the way, sleepless nights, writing. I'm up late writing and researching, but I always make time to get on my knees and have a conversation with Jesus. He's your best friend. Tiny Smidgen says, why are doctors who are against the jab all saying different things about its contents? Dr. Fleming now says graphene and the parasites are not in the jab. Dr. Madej has proof. What's going on? Yeah, I did see this guy over on Alex Jones's platform on InfoWars saying that basically everything that we have said here or that experts have come on this platform and said, nope, that's all false. What do you say?
Yeah, I got a lot of people on my Telegram channel, like literally like 50, 60 people asking about this privately and publicly. And so I wanted to address it initially. We'll talk to him. Maybe he'll come on Stu's show. But let me give you a little bit of the lay of the land here. I still do to some degree, have a lot of respect for Dr. Fleming. He's an MD, a PhD, and a JD, which means he's got a lot of education that is needed in these areas. And he's done some previous presentations that are absolutely stellar, and I've learned a lot from him. However, I feel that he caused a little more confusion. He accused the frontline doctors of causing confusion. I think they're all aligned, to be honest with you. Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Madej, Dr. Young, Dr. Batha, Dr. Gitala from Austria, Dr. Van Welbergen in the UK, hundreds of other doctors we've seen have all basically found the same things. And I won't reiterate because you've seen it on the show a number of times. But I want to do a legitimate scientific, you know, just mini critique of Dr. His presentation yesterday, because I think he left some things out. He never discussed his chain of custody. He never did a description of his methodology. You remember Dr. Batha and other doctors did videos, short videos, and showed you what they did step by step. He did an in vitro analysis, which means under glass. And that's fine. That's fine to look at it. But when he did something very different. He didn't just look at the blood or look at the vials. He took some blood. He doesn't disclose who the subject is. And then he takes a drop, he said, of Pfizer's vial and he introduces it on the petri dish, on the glass plate under the microscope to that blood. Now that's called an in vitro observation. That's not like giving it to someone and then looking at their blood. So the dynamics of the human body are gone. So that's a very limited observation to make, and especially to say, to wipe out and do a broad brushstroke that all these other doctors are wrong when they've actually done more extensive observation in someone who's been injected with this. It's a totally different, in other words, a totally different methodology. So you can't wipe out someone else's methodology if you use something different. The other thing is he didn't specify how many vials. Was it just one Pfizer vial? Was it multiple vials? And I think that's really important. The other thing is he says he basically dismisses the findings of these other doctors because he didn't see it in his sample. And I think that's really, with all due respect, sloppy,
arrogant
science.
Yeah.
It's a little bit narcissistic. He uses the word garbage in closing. I'll just say this too. He uses the word garbage so many times I lost count. He keeps saying that the artifact, the little metallic pieces and the strands are garbage and garbage and garbage. And I don't know what that means. That's not a scientific word. It's not very clear. And I just think he needs to revise that and maybe write up his report. Like a lot of these doctors have done their due diligence. They've actually, Dr. Batha has written a full-blown report. It's on her website. And Dr. Young has multiple reports on his website, along with a lot of other doctors. So let's write it up. Let's see the details. Let's see your methodology and your chain of custody. And we'll go from there.
And and if you don't want to be a real scientist, then everything that you said yesterday on that platform is garbage. How about that? Ask Dr. Jane. It's a segment that we do every single Wednesday right here. It's interactive. Ask these questions. Seriously, get to her Proton Mail, drjaneruby@protonmail.com, or find her in Telegram, t.me/drjaneruby. It's all brought to you by MyPillow. Make sure to use promo code STU for huge savings. Save bigly at MyPillow.com using promo code STU. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. Well, if you watch any of the mainstream news outlets, you may have heard a lot about a certain whistleblower at Facebook recently. Her name is Frances Haugen, and she's basically the fakest whistleblower ever. First off, she has a massive legal and PR team surrounding her, literally paid for by the billionaire who founded eBay. How many real whistleblowers have operations like that? Real whistleblowers are a threat to powerful people, and it shows. Edward Snowden had to flee the country. Julian Assange spent years stuck in an embassy. He's still incarcerated. That's what happens to real whistleblowers. This fake Facebook whistleblower literally got invited back to Facebook to speak to employees there. She's a celebrity, and she's cashing in by advocating for more tech censorship and more restrictions on free speech. That's what you can get. That's what you can earn when you're a fake whistleblower. Real whistleblowing is dangerous. Melissa McAtee is a whistleblower at Pfizer. She leaked emails about vaccine fetal stem cell lines to Project Veritas. And because she's a real whistleblower, she lost her job at Pfizer, and I don't think they're inviting her to speak at any upcoming holiday parties anytime soon. But this show is different, and that's why Melissa McAtee is here, and we want to hear what she has to say. Thank you so much for coming.
It's great to be here. I'm very excited.
So a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding these vaccines, graphene oxide, glowing vials, fetal stem cells, parasites, Hydra now. To this, what do you say?
I say it just blows my mind that people are still believing what Pfizer statements are when they come out on these things, because your show and many others are the ones showing the evidence for our claims, yet Pfizer showing none of their evidence for their claims. And I just cannot believe that people like AP News and all of them are just running to Pfizer for a statement when we have evidence. What have they shown other than their word and saying, trust us?
So to that point, when we say something here and Reuters and USA Today and Newsweek and PolitiFact and all these other hack, fake fact checkers come lashing out at us, literally, their response is, no, that's not in there. Why? Because Pfizer says so. No, a Delta airline pilot didn't die. Why? Because Delta says so. When Delta Airlines reached out to me and said emphatically that was untrue, and I reached back out to Delta and said, well, then tell me what happened on that flight. Since then, crickets. Of course they don't want to answer because we know that that pilot died on that flight. I have a specific question for you. Did the FDA ever conduct any safety examinations at Pfizer?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I know that they came in with tour the facility, but even the FDA tours are a joke. I'm recently learning that they're not even supposed to notify us when the FDA is coming because it gives us a chance to hide things. Well, what do you think we do? I mean, of course, when you know that you're going to be inspected, you make sure everything's top notch when they're coming. And then when they're blacking out the windows of some lines, when I've been told from day one that that's not supposed to be done, it went from being able to speak to the FDA to no one can even walk the halls when the FDA comes. They literally barricade off sections of the hallway with supervisors and tell you you can't walk down there because the FDA is down there. Well, if we're so integral and have nothing to hide, why are we having to hide and halt processes and not even be able to speak to the FDA when they're there? And we used to be able to see the FDA, interact with the FDA. Not even allowed anymore.
Okay,
unless
so you
you're
worked
in the area they want to see.
In the manufacturing department, that's where you worked. Is that correct? That's accurate?
Well, manufacturing production, it depends. There's manufacturing is like the filling processes of the vials, and then packaging is like production.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So did you have hands-on with these vials?
Yes.
Okay.
Every batch.
You said that these vials were glowing.
Yes.
Glowing what? Like, what do you mean?
Well, it was odd because I walked in the room and they're on a belt. They come down like a conveyor belt, a machine inspects them, and then they come down. And then as quality, we take so many units per batch and inspect them with our naked eye. And as it's coming down the belt, there's a metal section where it's a stainless steel table. And I'm like, why is it glowing? I looked to one of the leads and I was like, do you see this? And they just shook their head. They're like, and they want us to inject that in us. And I'm like, yeah. And their exact words were, it looks like someone took a blue glow stick, cracked it open and poured it in a vial.
Do you know what's in these things? I mean, did they give you like the proprietary ingredient list? Do the people at Pfizer who are a part of this essentially, are they complicit? Do they know what they're doing?
Honestly, I would say a lot of it is people in ignorance that think, you know, they just trust Pfizer. But I kind of think they know what they're doing. I emailed them not long before leaving and asked for an ingredient list. And their response was a CDC website link was to refer to the CDC. And I responded with, I'm your employee and I'm asking you what our ingredient list is. I said, I don't necessarily trust the CDC due to the Tuskegee Project, the Operation Dark Winter. Many reasons. I literally gave them a list while I don't trust the CDC. And then I was like, so can you tell me what is in these? And I never got a response.
Of course you didn't. So you haven't been invited to the Pfizer Christmas party, I imagine. That's not happening. Facebook hasn't reached out to you to want to know your truth.
No, absolutely not. In fact, if anything, my coworkers and people in the plant have been told not to speak to me.
Oh, interesting. I've got about a minute left here. I want you to take this time to tell the audience what you think is the most important thing that you hear. And we're going to have you back for a long form interview, but I wanted to get you on, introduce you to the audience here. What is the most important thing that you think that everybody that's listening right now should know?
That Pfizer is not even being honest with its employees. Its employees won't get it. That we don't even make it in our facility. We get unlabeled packaging and mix it together, not knowing what we're mixing together. That the FDA is kind of a joke with the tour. I don't want to necessarily say anything about the FDA because maybe they're unaware. Maybe they're unaware that they're being, you know, not getting to see everything. I don't really know. But this whole process has been a sham from the beginning that we started producing it. And until I left, there was very little honesty and transparency. None of my questions were answered, and I'm an employee. So do you think they're being honest with the world when they have $2.5 billion invested in this so far?
Well, I'm not here to beat you up, but I don't feel the same way about the FDA because we now know, as was broken and exposed by Patrick Howley on this program yesterday, that those FDA committee members that recommended to the FDA to approve this emergency use authorization for Pfizer all worked alongside Pfizer, invested in Pfizer, profiteer off of Pfizer, and are deeply tied to Pfizer. The whole thing is a corrupt sham.
Absolutely.
And so your intuitions on that are absolutely right. Melissa, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget, you can always reach us at stupeters@protonmail.com. I'm going through about 3,000 daily emails, so please try to be patient. We're getting to all of the whistleblowers as fast as we can, all right? And follow me on Gab. That's where the real conversation happens and where all of the real free speech exists. If you're listening and watching here, then I already know that you love free speech. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. I am praying for you every day fervently. Don't you ever forget that. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!